Moramai, good morning. This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service.
Manx Radio.
They should be able to gently nudge tourists with glazed looks so that they become pilgrims with gently focused eyes. They offer people from all faiths and none as they pause on their journey. They're for seekers and searchers, and anyone asking questions about God. So what are they? Well, they're small pilgrim places, a network of tiny churches and historic chapels, gardens, ruins, open spaces and holy wells, often in quiet and beautiful locations, places for pondering, meditating, praying or just being. And Agnish Chapel in the hills above Laxey Village is the first place on the island to join the Small Pilgrim Places network that draws together sites all over the British Isles. A few days ago, I went up to Agnish Chapel, which has been a place of Christian worship and prayer for over 1,300 years, starting with a keel, or simple chapel, where a monk lived from the end of the 7th century, to the present Methodist chapel that opened in 1857. And that's where we're going to be at your service this morning. Methodist minister Reverend Steve Ingruel, who has care of the chapel, is joined there by Robin Sadler and Hilary Sim, who are members of the Agnish Chapel family. Hilary talks about celebrating joining the Small Pilgrim Places network with a special event next Saturday. But before that, Robin and Reverend Steve reflect on finding God in nature and in the power of those thin places where God's presence can most strongly be felt. And as Methodists are traditionally born in song, we begin with a hymn.
Thank you. Robin Sadler, and I've lived in Agnes now for 40 years plus, at my wife's original home, and her connection with the chapel has been ever since she could walk and talk. So I've been brought into the chapel when we lived in England, and since we came to live here 40 years ago, we've regularly attended, and it's become part of our life. I often think about this aspect of nature. When we talk about lofty mountain grandeur and looking down on the woods and trees, it reminds me of my own life, because the Agnes Valley here, I've spent 40 years now partly farming, partly growing trees and extending the existing woodlands and planting new ones. It's become a way of life. And my whole life has been associated with nature and biological subjects. I was trained as a forester. I taught in a boys' grammar school for 15 years, teaching biological science at A level. And then I came here and was involved more hands-on with farming and forestry and land management. And this gives me now a lot of opportunity to look at nature in the raw, or partly in the raw, and wonder at the whole meaning of it all. And there are two aspects, and I think we're finding that after this pandemic. People are increasingly seeing the value of nature and the outdoors. We all strongly believe that this has a powerful effect on people's mentality. But you also look at it and say, well, where did all this begin? And I look at it in two aspects, as the wonder, the complexity, the intricacy of nature and how it all got there. And then you look at the mechanism of nature. How does it all work? And it is so bewilderingly complicated that you eventually come to the thought that there must be somebody behind this. There must be some force, some being. And this is where you begin to connect it to God. And there are many, many opinions about this. Many, many say that, oh, the whole thing's an accident. It's just blundered from mistake, mutation, evolution, selection, survival. It's just blundered on to what we've got now, and it's still doing that. Well, how can a thing so fantastic, how beautiful, just be an accident? And so, you know, this is the sort of thing that crosses your mind all the time when you look at something. You look at particular trees, plants, animals, and all the other rest of the fauna. It gives you tremendous food for thought.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, the night around me is falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries.
Loving Father and Creator of all, we come to you today deeply grateful for your creation. As we look around us, we are amazed at the greatness and majesty of all you have made. Nature around us speaks of your greatness. Lord, help us to hear. The vast expanse of sky, the mountains, the trees, the lakes and the streams speak of your great design, and you have given us such beauty in the colours we see around us. Lord, help us to see. Words cannot adequately express the magnificence of all you have made. Lord, help us to worship. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. To you we give our praise. Amen.
And now a reading from the Gospel according to John, verses taken from chapter 1.
The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
During my sabbatical a few years ago, I explored the concept of thin places and asked the question, do they exist? And if so, why do they exist? Robin has already shared with us about how being in nature and with the trees and the woodlands, it causes you to wonder and to ponder, is there something more? And that then leads us to see God as creation itself speaks of his glory. And I'm sure many of us can relate to that. And when we are ourselves in a right relationship with God, the whole of creation can recover a sense of that Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, where God came in the cool of the evening and walked with Adam, there was no barrier between them. There was no separation between them. And that gives us a picture of how life should be. But we know that life is not always like that today. That closeness and connection is in many ways lost, or if not lost, hard to achieve, hard to find. Throughout the Old Testament, we find that God is found in particular geographical locations. For example, the tabernacle housing the Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God rests in their wanderings through the wilderness. Once the temple is built, it's in the Holy of Holies where God's presence is found. God, of course, is never constrained to the bounds of either the ark or the temple, but it is in those specific places that people go to seek him and where people look to find his presence. Fast forward to Jesus' time, and in his teaching he points to himself as being the new location in which heaven and earth meet. This conversation that he has with Nathanael, he identifies himself as being the new Bethel, the one on whom the angels will ascend and descend, this meeting place, this location of... This meeting place, this new location where heaven and earth combine, is found in him. He also speaks about how he is the new temple. And Paul expands on Jesus' teaching and refers to Jesus as being the new Adam. And it's as if Jesus brings into being this time where the barrier between humanity and God is stripped away once more. At the crucifixion, the curtain in the temple is torn from top to bottom. At the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, the temple of the Holy Spirit is now wherever two or three gather in the name of Christ. But I find that we often carry within ourselves a barrier of our own making. Our sinfulness becomes like a new temple curtain that separates us from experiencing the presence of God. And I came through my sabbatical studies to an understanding that suggests perhaps God, knowing this, in his grace towards us, still today provides places of meeting where it can be easier to see beyond that veil. These thin places can be the work of human construction, or it can be an area of creation and nature that reveals the glory of God to us. In the Celtic tradition, thin places were places where creation itself spoke of the glory of God. In the Catholic and Orthodox traditions, they were shrines and churches built by people, set apart for the glory of God with a worshipping, praying community within them. Either way, it seems to me that God honours the intent behind such prayer spaces. And by coming to a place expecting to encounter God in a new way by being in that place, we find ourselves open to receive what he is offering to us at all times and in all places. Perhaps in your own home, in your own garden, or in your local church or chapel, you can find that space where you can simply be. Encounter the God who made you and who loves you. And then as you leave that time and that moment, you go with a deeper awareness of his love surrounding you in all the places and all the times of your life.
Agnes Chapel has become part of the Small Pilgrimage Places network. So what are small pilgrim places? They're spaces for pondering, breathing, meditating, praying and being. They're small places, not those already on the map, well known or that draw crowds. They're simple, quiet and unpretentious, with the presence of the divine. They can be places of worship, gardens, ruins, open spaces, holy wells. And they should be welcoming and inclusive. We feel that applies to Agnes because Agnes is in a beautiful location. It's quiet. It's a very simplistic chapel. And like Steve was saying, we feel that it is a thin place because it has been a prayed-in place for hundreds and hundreds of years, starting with the keel, with a monk in AD 690, coming up to the present day when we still have a weekly prayer meeting on a Saturday morning. The chapel will be open every day between 10 and 4, offering refreshments, and also there will be a visitor guide and points for prayer. And we're going to have a special launch coffee morning for the small pilgrimage places. It's going to be this coming Saturday at the chapel between 10 and 12.
Lord our God, in all that we do, we seek to know you more and to make you known, to love you more, and help more to know your love. So by your Holy Spirit, in everything we do, we ask, Lord, work in us. Lord, work through us. And Lord, work despite us, until your will is truly done here on this earth as it is in heaven. To the glory of your name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Steve Ingruel, Robin Sadler and Hilary Sim, who were at your service in Agnes Chapel, which has joined the Small Pilgrim Places Network and are celebrating with a coffee morning in the chapel next Saturday between 10 and 12. And now let's take a look at some other notice board news. There are evening services tonight at 6:30 in the Methodist churches in Ballabeg, Balagueri and the Howe. And also this evening at 6:30, the Mariners Choir will be at Laxey Methodist Church on Minorca Hill, and Mrs. Marilyn Cannell will preach. As usual with Mariners services, there'll be supper and community hymn singing afterwards. And the very popular summer Sunday evening concerts restart tonight in the Promenade Church here on Douglas Prom, and there is access to the church. Starting at 8 o'clock, there are different guests to entertain you each week, with refreshments afterwards, and whilst admission is free, donations would be most welcome. Tonight's concert in the prom will be given by the Isle of Man Government Choir. St Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas have started their summer concerts too, an hour of popular music every Wednesday evening from 7:45, with refreshments afterwards. This Wednesday, Val Cowley and friends will be providing the music, and whilst admission is free, donations would be welcome. There's a tasty Tabor lunch being served at Mount Tabor, Port St Mary Methodist Church, on Friday the 18th from noon to 1:15. It's just £5 per person. And also on Friday the 18th, Andrew Scarf will be in Christchurch in Laxey to give an illustrated talk on Old Laxey. That's Friday the 18th at 7:30, and the cost is just £5 per person, including tea and biscuits afterwards. Looking ahead to next Sunday morning, and Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount invite you to a congregational praise service at 10:30, led by members of the Trinity Church family. And next Sunday evening, the 20th, the Mariners Choir will be in St Luke's in Baldwin, when Reverend Canon Janice Ward will preach, and as usual, the service will start at 6:30. And that's all that we've time for today. Just a little reminder that if you prefer to start your day with this programme, At Your Service is available as a podcast from 7 a.m. each Sunday morning, accessible via our own website, manxradio.com, but you'll also find it on all the main podcast platforms too. News for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns to be included in future programmes can all be sent to me via email, judithleigh@manxradio.com, or by post if you prefer. Manx Radio, P.O. Box 1368, Douglas IM 991SW. I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown, easy listening music to round off your weekend. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed, safe and peaceful week and a very good morning. The nation state.